The matter of State versus Ty Bear Miles. May we please have appearances of counsel? Good morning, counsel, and welcome. Ms. Pinarelli.
Initially, the state would just ask for 2 minutes rebuttal if necessary.
That's fine.
Thank you. In this case, the trial court ordered the state to turn over facial recognition technology-related discovery pursuant to State v. Arteaga. This court should reverse the trial court's order for three reasons. One, Arteaga is unworkable in practice. Two, Arteaga inappropriately extends the holdings of Pickett and Gigliotti to reach the conclusion that it reaches. And three, Arteaga is distinguishable. So starting with number one, Arteaga is unworkable. Since Arteaga has come out, any time that the state uses facial recognition technology, Arteaga is applied and the state is required to turn over voluminous discovery, including proprietary information such as source code. This is unworkable, not only because the state generally doesn't have all of this in its possession, but with the proprietary nature of some of this, the state isn't able to get that information. And this makes it unworkable because the state is put in a position where either we dismiss a case anytime facial recognition technology is used, or we give a very favorable plea agreement in favor of the defendant because we can't comply. Additionally, Arteaga is unworkable because it's already become outdated. For example, one of the things in discovery that Arteaga requires you to turn over are the nodal points, facial vectors. My understanding is that is not how facial recognition technology works anymore. So we're not able to comply because the technology works a different way now. With regards to number two, Arteaga inappropriately extends Pickett and Gigliotti. Unlike in those cases, both in Arteaga and in here, the state is not seeking to admit expert testimony that relies on a novel technology. Therefore, requiring the state to turn over this voluminous discovery when the issue of facial recognition technology's reliability for the purpose of admitting it into evidence isn't at issue, it's inappropriate to extend it to these situations. And finally, Arteaga is distinguishable. Unlike in Arteaga, in our case, we have three confirmatory identifications by people who knew the defendant, who identified him from either surveillance footage or from screenshots of surveillance footage. And the facial recognition technology, therefore, has no way to infect these later identifications because they were so removed from the facial recognition technology usage, which was really used as a tool. For these reasons, the state asks that this court reverse the trial court's order, and I'm open for any questions at this time.
In this case, you agreed to disclose to the defendant the other names that the FRT had identified. Do you agree that's required in every case?
I do agree that it's appropriate for any of the potential matches that those should be disclosed, as we did in this case.
Can you explain how the FRT system is programmed? Had Fat Daddy not been in the FRT database, would it have identified others?
My understanding is that, yes, the way that facial recognition technology works is that, at least in the context of investigations, it will generate any potential matches, so it could potentially lead to false positives.
It was Professor Wells correct in his assertion that this system is guaranteed to return one or more false negatives?
My understanding in this case is that, yes, the way it's used in investigations, it would potentially turn up false positives. It would, anyone who could potentially match, they would generate the closest matches, or potential matches, I should say.
Can you go back to something you said in your opening statement? Mm-hmm. You said that at this point you are dismissing every case in which facial recognition technology was used or offering a very favorable plea to the defendant in every case in which facial recognition technology was used?
In the vast majority of cases, yes. A lot of times, We don't even get post-indictment because we know that facial recognition technology was used and we can't comply. There are.
Is it the case you can't comply in every case? I thought what you were saying was that in cases in which you are not able to comply because you can't get the proprietary information from the FRT vendor, then that's when that has to happen. Are you saying that's in almost every case?
So the way that at least in Hudson County trial courts have interpreted Arteaga is that anytime facial recognition technology is used, the state needs to provide and turn over everything pursuant to state v. Arteaga, including proprietary information such as source code. And the third-party vendors, in every case, they've made it very clear they have no intention of providing us the source code, which therefore we can never comply with that.
So have you put out some sort of directive that says, do not use facial recognition technology because it will cause us to have to dismiss the case, even if it has absolutely nothing to do? Your argument here is that facial recognition technology had really nothing to do with the case because defendant was identified by his sister and his ex-girlfriend in a way that had absolutely nothing to do with facial recognition technology. If you're still going to be required to dismiss all of those cases, did you put out some sort of directive, as I said, that says stop using facial recognition technology because it's causing us to have to dismiss all of these cases?
I'm unsure if we have a directive currently or if there's some sort of directive being worked on. And I do want to clarify, a lot of these cases we do dismiss, not all of them. Obviously, this was a homicide and this was a very serious case. There are a few other cases where we were somewhat successful, potentially in facial recognition technology motions to compel. So for example, I actually had a case when I was on the trial team where the defendant herself wasn't identified using facial recognition technology. However, the uncharged co-defendant, they did use it to attempt to locate who that co-defendant could have been. Ultimately, the police didn't charge in that case because the only thing they had was the facial recognition technology match, and they didn't feel that was enough. So when the defendant moved to compel discovery, I was able to successfully argue it's not relevant because of the situation where it ultimately that was only used as to the uncharged co-defendant. Another case that we have ongoing right now where they did seek facial recognition technology and we were somewhat successful in the motion to compel was a case where facial recognition technology was used early on as an investigative tool. And ultimately, as it continued, they were able to get DNA evidence matching to that defendant. The defendant gave a Miranda statement where he inculpated himself. So the court did require us to turn over most of the items as set forth in Arteaga. But because the defendant didn't have an expert, the court found that the proprietary information, such as the source code, the defendant hadn't demonstrated a particularized need there. So we were, to the best of my knowledge, we're still working on getting all of that discovery to that defendant. But that's another instance that we have right now in Hudson County where we were at least somewhat successful on these types of motions and we were able to continue prosecuting the case further.
Counsel, let's see. Sorry. Just real quick, since June of 2023 when Arteaga was issued, mm-hmm. Do you have an idea of how many cases have been completely dismissed as a result of not being able to provide the discovery?
In Hudson County, I would say a ballpark number, I would say at least 5, possibly more, since Arteaga came out that I'm aware of. But ultimately, it's my office's decision, so obviously, I don't get to get privy information on every case where facial recognition technology is used.
And you're not.
Also, I'm sorry. Do you also have a ballpark idea of how many cases involve facial recognition in order to understand what 5 means in mm-hmm. that in that regard?
My understanding is there's a lot of cases that don't use facial recognition technology. I know that there have been a few where it gets a little complicated because we're working with New York because given that we're in Hudson County, unfortunately, we do have a lot of instances where an actor either comes into New Jersey from New York or, you know, they have had interactions with police in New York. So I know that in some of those New York NYPD cases, it was them that was using it. And then we got the case because the crime was committed in Hudson County. But I can't say with certainty how many. I mean, Hudson County has a lot of cases. We're very, very busy, and a lot of them we do try our best to resolve, hopefully before it goes post-indictment. So
let's say the defendant is concededly and admittedly in the database,
mm-hmm.
and FRT is run,
mm-hmm.
and it produces 20 hits, none of which are the defendant. Arguably, most likely that's exculpatory information. Are you saying that you would not be able to satisfy an obligation for a robust production of that exculpatory information vis-a-vis that defendant because the third-party vendors would refuse to turn information over?
So what I'm saying is we would, and we agree that we should comply with indicating that we had used facial recognition technology, providing that list of potential matches, whether it indicates the defendant or not.
Meaning you would provide the 20 people,
yes,
in the hypothetical.
Or however many matches it was, whether it was 10, 20, or whether up to, I would say up to 20. I'm not sure if it actually produces more than
20. In those circumstances, the defendant may want to argue, look at this system. This system exonerates me. And the defendant may want in more information as to how he has been exonerated. Are you saying that the defendant wouldn't be entitled to that exculpatory information, or that the vendor would not allow you to provide that exculpatory information?
So with regards to something like source code, I would say the defendant would at least need to demonstrate a particularized need before he would be entitled to that. But also in Dr. King, in his brief, he actually said in a footnote in his brief that such information wouldn't really be helpful because it's not readily interpretable by humans. So to the extent that the defendant is asking for proprietary information such as source code, it wouldn't even be helpful to him because he wouldn't be able to understand it.
So what if he got an expert?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Are you saying that in a Brady context, that it might be turnoverable, but in this context, it wouldn't be?
So what I'm saying is that I'm not disputing, and the state isn't disputing, that they should at least get the potential matches, whether it matches the defendant or whether it matches someone else, but the defendant is ultimately charged.
But more information may be exculpatory. If the defendant admits I was in the database,
mm-hmm.
and 20 hits came back and none of them produced the defendant, you could see a very powerful piece of exculpatory information there. And that exculpatory information obligation may extend beyond just those photos.
Mm-hmm. So some of the information, such as like the error rates, that is actually publicly available online. There is a URL code. I do not have the URL code in front of me.
I wouldn't know what it meant anyway. So.
But there is, at least in terms of the potential error rates, that is publicly available online. So a defendant could go and get that from online, for example.
Does the state's Brady obligation extend to information it does not have and cannot get?
So the state is required, if the state is aware or reasonably aware of any information that could be exculpatory, then the state is required to, if they can,
reasonable
get that.
Reasonable efforts?
Yes.
But if you have a third party that has proprietary information and is not willing to part with it, and that happens with technology, and you could make reasonable efforts, write letters, et cetera, and you're going to be told no, or you have been told no, does the state have a Brady obligation to produce the source codes in that kind of situation?
The issue of whether or not, so in situations like this, facial recognition technology, it's the results that matter. It's not necessarily about the source code or how it operates. And the fact that we're not seeking, and at least in this case, defendant isn't, to my knowledge, seeking expert testimony. So we're not required to have a Daubert hearing to make that determination as to whether or not it is reliable enough to be admitted into evidence to prove or specifically to prove a defendant's guilt. But the source code, it is proprietary. So if there is a situation where the defendant is seeking it, he needs to demonstrate a particularized need for that.
But you're saying that should be the rule, but it's not the rule currently, correct?
No, it is not.
Okay, and I wanted to make sure I understood from your opening as well. You have never gotten the source code?
No.
So there has never been a case where you have been able to comply with Arteaga? You No. always have to either dismiss the indictment or offer a favorable plea.
Yes.
Do you know how many different vendors Hudson County uses?
I'm not completely sure, because the way that it happens, like in this case, for example, it was HIDA. So HIDA has one specific vendor. I'm not sure whether or not if New York has a different vendor.
So if we said that they are entitled to the source code, are you telling us that you're going to dismiss the indictment?
I'm telling you that we wouldn't be able to comply, and perhaps depending on whatever the remedy would be, ultimately we would either, not in this case because we're talking about a homicide, but we would at least like potentially have a more favorable plea agreement in favor of the defendant.
Have you made any efforts to get the source code in this case?
We did. The vendor made it very clear that they will not provide it.
Has any vendor ever provided it?
Not to my knowledge, not in Hudson County.
Have you made efforts to negotiate other aspects of the list short of the source code so that you provide more than what's already been provided, but not necessarily all, I can't remember how many, 14, 15 requests?
So in this case, I think this actually happened after we had lost the motion for reconsideration, but before we had necessarily decided to appeal. I know that we had spoken. It took a very long time to get in contact with the correct people so we could actually find out who we should be reaching out to for this information. We were able to speak to a representative from HIDA, as well as to someone from the vendor, and they were able to indicate. So, for example, we learned later on that the vendor is DataWorks in this case.
DataWorks, did you say?
DataWorks, yes. We went through the list, and some of them, like, for example, the nodal points and the facial vectors, that's not how the facial recognition technology worked in this case. So therefore, we can't comply with, that's item number three, because that isn't how the software works. With regards to, for example, the error rates, that again is something that is publicly available online, both to defense counsel as well as to the state. Going further down the list,
you don't have to go all the way down. Yes. Just my question.
So it was mainly the main thing that we would be having trouble complying with would be the source code or any proprietary information. So
a lot of things you could comply with, but not necessarily this one thing.
Okay. Yes, it still required some effort on our part, but we were able to at least get answers for most of the other points.
What should happen in a case where there are multiple witnesses who see the individual who perpetrates the crime?
Mm-hmm.
FRT comes up with 20 names, they're all shown, and all the witnesses identify the same person. What should be turned over under those circumstances from the state's position?
Are we talking about a situation where the people who identify them are strangers to the defendant?
Yes. Or
yes. So at the minimum, the state would be required to turn over the fact that it used facial recognition technology, the list of potential matches, as well as, of course, the probe photograph. To the extent, again, given the fact that error rates and all of that is available online, that is something that, if they're asking for, the state could provide the URL for the defendant to obtain that information as well.
That's it?
I would say if the defendant wants something such as source code or other proprietary information, the defendant would need to demonstrate a particularized need. To the extent if, for example, if the state was seeking to have this admitted into evidence, then of course that could open the door to more information, because then we would have to have a Daubert hearing.
And then if the defendant is able to demonstrate a particularized need, what then does the state do? Because you've been arguing that there's no way, no chance we can get this. So what does the state do in that scenario? For court order, compelling production? I'm not sure.
I suspect. So I know in State v. Pickett, which was also a Hudson County case, in that case, the court Court ordered the state to turn over proprietary information, and True Allele refused to turn it over. So we ultimately resolved the case because we couldn't comply.
Right, on remand before the FRA hearing finished.
Yes.
And by resolve the case, again, you mean either dismiss the case or offer a more favorable plea than you otherwise would have.
Correct.
Because there is simply no way for you to get the proprietary information.
Correct.
Does the state concede there are error rates with FRT?
In reading the many appendices as well as like the many amicus briefs, it does appear that, I mean, we're not at the stage where we're seeking to admit facial recognition technology. Obviously, the reliability hasn't been tested, but it does appear that there are certainly chances for error given the fact that it could be develop a false positive or a false negative.
Would that be part of a stipulation, perhaps, on remand?
You mean like as part of a remedy, or you mean like a, I'm sorry, if I included like a jury charge or something like that, or just?
Yeah, sure, even before the jury's charged, just to deal with the question of reliability up front, rather than worrying about getting the source code to prove that it wasn't operating as it should have.
So, I mean, I'm sure that's something that could be discussed between the state and defendant. About a potential stipulation. However, given the fact that the state isn't seeking to admit the testimony, or rather admit any testimony that relies on facial recognition technology, we're not seeking to have a Daubert hearing.
That they would, presumably, on cross-examination of your witnesses, deal with this technology.
Correct. I mean, that is something that I guess...
Not in this case, though, right? Because there were no witnesses that... I thought in this case the IDs were from the surveillance footage and not from the facial recognition technology, correct?
Yes. So there was a confidential informant initially who reviewed surveillance footage and was able to identify the defendant by a street name and then
provided... And also his address and his girlfriend's name and his Instagram profile and lots of other things, not just a street name, right?
Yes. And then from their the defendant's Instagram, officers pulled a photo, ran it through HIDA, and then HIDA had a list of potential matches, including Tyber Miles, who a buckshot photo of his was then shown to the CI, who confirmed, yes, that is the person I know as Fat Daddy. And then later on, we had three identifications, one from defendant's sister, who identified him from screenshot of surveillance footage by name, Tyber Miles, his ex-girlfriend, who they had just broken up approximately 2 weeks prior to her coming in. She also identified him from screenshots of surveillance footage.
That had nothing to do with FRT, right?
No.
So in this case, had you just said, for example, we will not seek to admit the second identification from the confidential informant from which the photo was taken from FRT, do you understand that the holding would have been the same, that even though nothing that we seek to admit at trial would have anything to do with FRT, you would still have to either dismiss the case or offer a favorable plea because you cannot get the source code?
Yeah, I mean, potentially, if depending on, I guess, how the court seeks a remedy. And many, as I said, in many of these cases, we don't even get to the motion to compel because we try to resolve them before that becomes an issue.
And again, even if it has nothing to do with evidence you would seek to admit in the case,
yes.
It's just if it was ever used.
Yes, so there is
very confusing that there would be no directive out that just says, you know, this is causing us to dismiss every single case in this county, and so you should stop using this.
No, I agree. I mean, in this case, unfortunately, Arteaga didn't come out for another year, so there's no way that we could have predicted Arteaga.
You did make derivative use of the FRT information in this case. Is that fair?
I'm sorry, could you just repeat the
question? You did make derivative use of what the FRT evidence was.
So I would say the way it was used is that it accelerated what the officers ultimately would have been able to get later on. So it is true that because they used facial recognition technology so early, based off of the information from the confidential informant, they were able to get his name faster. However, given the amount of information the confidential informant provided, I would say that we would have already gotten to these witnesses, albeit it might have taken a little bit longer.
But that confirmation from the CI was significant, right? Like if you had gotten that photo back and shown it to the CI and the CI said, no, that's not him. mm-hmm. then the investigation would have gone in a different course, right?
Potentially, yes.
And it is appropriate, right, and acceptable to get and turn over information that allows the defense to impeach an investigation, right?
That's correct.
And it's also appropriate and acceptable to get information that allows the defendant to investigate potential third-party guilt, right?
Correct.
And the defense counsel here, if there was a fault in the FRT system, the defense counsel here could have used that to impeach the investigation or could have used the information to pursue third-party guilt investigation, right?
Yeah, well, so he can, though, because in this case, we've provided the list of potential matches. So with the list of potential matches, the defense attorney can look at that and go, well, there were all of these other individuals who were a potential match. Why didn't you investigate them? They can go into the fact that this is a circumstantial case in that although there's a lot of surveillance footage that's been collected in this case, you hear the shooting happen, but you don't see it on any of the cameras. And there were multiple people around. So the defendant can challenge it by saying, well, what about all of these other individuals who were here? There was also that anonymous note that indicated the person who had committed the shooting, his last name was Collins. And obviously, Tiber Miles' last name isn't Collins. So there's multiple other ways that the defendant will be able to present a complete defense in this case that doesn't necessarily go into figuring out how facial recognition technology works, looking into proprietary information such as source code.
So help us understand the breadth of your argument when it comes to a stranger case.
Mm-hmm.
The FRT system spits out six photos, six names,
mm-hmm.
And your witnesses, your three witnesses are all strangers to this actual assailant and have no idea who the person is. Each of them is shown six photo arrays with one of the photos from the six that FRT generated,
mm-hmm.
and they each make an identification of the same person. Is that a sufficient basis for a showing of particularized need that more than simply the six names and photos need to be disclosed?
That would be sufficient to potentially sufficient to get into, for example, error rates, which is a publicly available online, and get into slightly more information. But
what else?
Obviously, whatever is generated, those other individuals.
I mean, over the six photos and the publicly available error rates, what else would be disclosed under your position?
It would depend on the circumstances, but certainly the defendant would potentially be entitled to more in that information because potentially if, for example, the facial recognition technology did not have or it only produced false positives, then there wouldn't be anyone for those strangers to identify. So there certainly could be more information that could be provided. But to get into the source code, that would require really in Pickett and Gigliotti, I understand that those cases aren't controlling or binding to this court, but in both of those cases, those were in situations where ultimately that technology, the reliability was at issue because it was being used against the defendant to demonstrate his guilt.
Let me ask you about that and mm-hmm. about specifically the fact mm-hmm. here that one subset, obviously there's a lot more to Arteaga mm-hmm. than this, but as to source codes and maybe some other items, you have a situation where there's technology at issue
mm-hmm.
in which third-party vendors have provided the technology, and the third-party vendors may be getting the technology from some other source,
mm-hmm.
because there usually is a chain in these types of cases. And for proprietary reasons, having nothing to do with the prosecution of any individual, the third-party vendor or the ultimate manufacturer, whoever it may be, or some combination, are saying, that's proprietary. This is our main asset is this proprietary technology. You're not getting it. That's not a new problem, is it? Haven't there been cases involving alcohol testing devices or DNA technology where there is an issue of proprietary or confidential technical information that runs into a discovery obligation? And there are a variety of outcomes in those cases. I think that's fair to say.
Yes, there are certainly cases. I believe Chun talks about the ELCO test, and then Pickett talks about true allele. And then I believe Gigliotti talks about specifically bullet tracks, although in that case, the court determined that the defendant hadn't demonstrated a particularized need.
What I'm saying is if the defendant provides a particular particularized need, mm-hmm. the state is still going to run into a brick wall, correct? Because that vendor is going to say, forget it, unless there's a court order, unless there's a confidentiality order, unless there are provisions potentially made that protects that proprietary technology. What I'm asking is whether there's been, in any of these cases that you're aware of, a really deep dive into that problem, as there has been in other settings, to figure out whether there's a practical solution that could potentially protect the proprietary information, or in which the court says, I don't find that to be essential for the defendant to have be able to defend against this technology. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? It seems like this is not a new problem, and I'm just wondering whether in the specific context of FRT, there's been an inquiry into how these issues have been resolved in other settings.
I'm not completely sure. I know that there are civil cases that deal with FRT, but I didn't look into those. I was more focused on how it was handled in criminal contexts.
You offered presumably the third party vendor some sort of protective order slash agreement, right?
So
for example, Pickett discusses how True Allele had to turn over the proprietary information pursuant to a protective order.
Yes.
You said that there, on remand, True Allele said, no,
yes.
Even with a protective order, we are not turning over this material.
Yes.
Therefore, you had to resolve the case through some other way or dismiss the indictment, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So here, have you offered the third-party vendors the same thing that was required in Pickett, meaning a court order and protective order, something like that?
My understanding, and it wasn't me personally, it was another person from our office, was that we had inquired about whether or not they would be satisfied with a proprietary order. I believe they indicated they wouldn't be satisfied with that, but we also aren't quite there yet in this case.
What do you mean?
But in all the other cases you dismissed, so you just said there were five cases in Hudson County that you've had to dismiss because you cannot get the source code. When you say cannot get the source code, does that mean despite saying with a protective order in place?
Yeah, they've made it clear it's proprietary. And frankly, in every case, a lot of times, like this case itself took a really long time. A lot of times just trying to get any information, trying to get a hold of the right contact, whether it's through a representative from HIDA, whether it's from the third party vendor, just trying to get information out of them has been very difficult.
But you understand that's different from saying they won't turn it over, that we can't find the right person.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm asking. Have you previously, or someone in your office, not you personally, offered or said, you know, this will be pursuant to a protective order, and the third party vendor says, we don't care, you still cannot have the source code? Or did that only happen in Pickett and you've never then said anything about a protective order since then?
In this case, I know that we spoke to a representative. Again, I'm not completely sure. I wasn't privy to that conversation, but my understanding was they had indicated even with a proprietary order. I know there was one of the other examples I gave earlier. There had been a conversation between that AP and, again, another representative, and they had made it very clear that the source code was proprietary, but I don't believe we went as far as asking whether or not they felt a protective order would be sufficient, because that was the case that ultimately we were able to persuade the court to find that there wasn't a particularized need as to the proprietary information, so we didn't have to provide that.
Is it possible that the civil cases are relevant, in which there's discovery orders that deal with technology? There are third parties that have the technology and don't want to give it up. And if everybody goes away after you say, we don't want to give it up, then that's maybe the end of the issue. But it gets pursued sometimes. And there are sometimes accommodations that allow for very controlled access, sometimes only by experts and counsel, not not the clients themselves, in which there can be access, but also the concerns about proprietary information can be addressed.
Certainly. Again, I'm not as familiar with the civil cases, but if that this has been addressed anywhere, potentially that could provide some guidance. Without knowing more about it, I can't provide more, unfortunately.
Hudson County used this by way of its reliance on HIDTA?
Yes.
Do you know, and if not, perhaps the AG can help us later, what other law enforcement entities in the state of New Jersey are using this?
I'm not certain.
Other questions, anyone?
Are you familiar with the procedural history of the five cases that you referenced? I know you said ballpark, but just in terms of, were they fully litigated in motion practice? Was it independent determinations by the prosecutor's office once the discovery request was made and an internal decision was made that they can't get the information? I'm just not clear on how those dismissals ended up, or was it the court as a third option?
So we've only had a few cases that use facial recognition technology that go post-indictment. Following Arteaga, which we did have to resolve Arteaga to almost a time served sentence because we couldn't comply in that case. What we started doing was, if there was a case that touched upon facial recognition technology, we would then indicate to someone from our front office and explain, okay, this was used. Someone from our front office would look at the case and then go, okay, is this something we want to try to pursue, or is this something that we just want to dismiss? So I can't give you the specifics, but that was generally how we've been approaching these types of cases. So as I said, we have a couple that have gone post-indictment that I explained where, but for the most part, they kind of stop post-indictment or pre-indictment.
And I guess where my question is coming from is whether or not your office has tested its answers to these questions or to the request for discovery in litigation before a judge where the defense has asked and made the requests, and the state has responded saying, these are the efforts we've made. We've made every reasonable effort to get this. We can't let the court make a decision as to what to do in terms of a remedy. Has that happened to your knowledge?
Yes. So in one of our cases, I mean, there are a couple that I'm not as familiar with fact-wise that I think are post-indictment and still litigating a motion to compel. But in one of them, we were able to, initially the court had required us to turn over everything pursuant to Safety Arteaga after moving for reconsideration and setting forth what we were able to comply with, what we weren't able to comply with. The court then said that given the fact that there was no expert in that case and the fact that the defendant hadn't demonstrated a particularized need, we weren't required to turn over proprietary information such as source code.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Have you made the argument that if you can't get it, it's not in the state's possession?
Yes, we actually argued in this case that wasn't in the possession, custody, or control of the state. And I believe we also argued that in Arteaga.
Other questions, anyone? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
We're going to break for lunch. I don't want to ask you to start and stop you after 5 or 10 minutes. We'll be back at around 1 o'clock. Santa Lucrido.